Daniel chapter 1. We've been talking about that in Sunday school downstairs, and so we're going to just move it up to the, up here for today. And some Bible knowledge questions as you're getting your Bibles out to the first chapter of Daniel. Number of books in the Bible are 66. Number of books in the Old Testament, 39. Our Bibles have 1,189 of these chapters. Number of books in the New Testament, 27. Number of human authors involved in writing the Bible, 39, 40, somewhere in that general neighborhood, 8 and 32, if you want to break down, 32 and 8 approximately. How many years to write the Bible altogether? 1,500 to 1,600. Who are Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah? Correct. They're Daniel's three friends who were taken to captivity. Was it Eve or Adam that was tempted to sin? Yeah, Eve first. What universe-changing event happened in Genesis 3? Sin. Fall into sin. Fall of man. Whom did Cain marry? Sister. Mr. Womack now. This word begins with S and means that God is in control of all things. Sovereign. And what are the names of Adam and Eve's three sons that we know of by name? Cain and Seth. Very good. All right. So there's just your mental, get you going mentally. We're going to read about the first eight verses and talk about that today. We find in Daniel 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Let me turn this on in case somebody wants to listen to this real quick. And here we go, just a moment. And we'll turn this on. And Mark, is that go? Daniel chapter 1, in the third year reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Jehoiakim has the same one that burned the Bible, cut the pieces out of Scripture and threw it in the fire. Not a good plan. He wasn't even buried with the kings. He was buried with the animals. Came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the number one king in all the world at that time, I believe. To Jerusalem and besieged it. Besieged it, walked around it, or not only walked around it, but he kept people from going in and out. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Interesting there, the Lord gave. The Lord is still in control. He rules over the affairs of men, mankind, with part of his vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar about 930 B.C., approximately, well, by 950, Solomon built this beautiful temple by God's directive, and the house, part of the houses, maybe it's already been raided once or twice, I don't know, so part of the vessels are going to go to Shinar, or Babylon, to the house of his God. Interestingly enough, he's going to put the people of Israel into captivity at the place that's the home of captivity, Babylon, the Tower of Babel, and so of idolatry, sorry, not captivity, home of idolatry, so they've got idolatry in their blood. By the time they get it out, 70 years later, there'll be no more succumbing to, if you would, idolatry as a nation. So we find there, verse 3, and the king spake to Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs. So what happened to Daniel and his three friends? Because this is the master of the eunuchs, and he is the one who's over Daniel and his three friends. So they're now eunuchs. I think it was less, maybe 75 to 100 approximately. We don't know for sure how many, but this started happening in 605 B.C., 597 again, and finally he got tired of it in 586. I think he started about 588, and by 586 he captured Jerusalem and utterly destroyed the temple in 586. Captivity of Israel, 605 to 535 BC, those 70 years. So if he's a captain or master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes and children whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and who they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans, a.k.a. brainwash, and that king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. That is a long-term goal, to give 3 years training to these men, the young men. Young men are going to spend 3 years in training, so when they're done, they're going to be Babylonians, pretty much, that can speak Hebrew, possibly, or have be good emissaries to the other nations about. Also, if you assimilate if you assimilate peoples into your culture, then they cannot revolt against you any longer. You divide them up, and they can't get together and fight against you anymore. And so that's a very wise thing to do. Among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Isn't it amazing how we know them by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? But I think they really would want to be known by Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And I was thinking, I have this excellent commentary, and on the inside, Mr. Phillips has written in there, Daniel 1:8. Daniel purposed in his heart. So what is our purpose? What are you purposing to do with your life? I trust it is to serve God. Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, next few moments, I pray that you help me to think clearly. I pray as we look at this life of this very godly young man and godly older man as he ages, that we will glean some nuggets, as Mr. Smith said, some handfuls of purpose for our own lives, that we will see something here that we'll be challenged by. And so, Lord, as we think about who are, what is the purpose of our lives, may it be, if it is not yet, may it be to serve you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So Daniel's destiny, his captivity, number one in your outline, Jehoiakim and his depravity, Nebuchadnezzar's cruelty, Jehovah and his sovereignty. Sovereignty means God has complete control. He oversees. He knows what's happening in the world today. He is overseeing. We have the choice to do, but God overrules our choices, things people do choose to do. And the heart of the king is in the hands of God. I was listening to Mr. Stevens posted just yesterday. I was on Facebook, I think, one time, and Ken Ham was talking about a very good little blurb from Ken Ham about how he says, well, people wonder, could God have made the earth in all these length of time? He says, it's not could God have done that, but what has God said? God said, I did this. So are we going to believe it? Or are we going to try to work around it? And so God says, and he destroys, really, if you listen to that 5-minute thing, he destroys, seven and I listen together, he destroys all those naysayers. It's just clear cut, Hebrew language, whatever, and he just gives the explanation. Yes, it can mean that, but here, with just one, it means always means a literal day, but here we got all four of them lined up. And even the first time, it's just amazing. So God has said, God is in control, he is sovereign. So the captivity, and we have the captives starting in verse 3, and we find that there's going to be, the captives are going to be Mr. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, and Daniel. We call it Daniel, we blend those together, but it might be more of the L, because L is a name for God, Daniel. So I'm sure a Hebrew person would pronounce it much more correctly, but that we call it, we sort of blend them together. Interesting, isn't it interesting? So I was at the bottom of page 2, think about this. Can you tell a lot about a society by the kind of names it gives its children? Hebrew society. That was so important that you wonder why everybody has the name. I don't know. There's different names in there, like probably go over the same name over and over and over. And Jeroboam. Everything starts with J, it seems. But a lot of them had to do with how they related to Elijah. You know, it's like, but that was so important because they wanted to include Timothy. Even means servant of God, I think is what it means. But so there's a purpose in the name giving. Today we have. Now I have to admit, when Stephanie and I were looking for names, we tried to find the most unusual names in 1986 and 90 we could find. So we have Ian and Kendra, so there we are. Kendra's very more popular. And both those names have sort of been up in popularity. Most important thing is God know your name, and he does. And are you his child by far? And so we understand that. That's why you're here on Sunday school, because most of you, if not all of you already know the Lord, as I believe all of you do, as personal Savior. That's why we're here, to learn together. So there's a crisis. Now I'm going through that quickly as I go through everything quickly, but I went through that because we've already covered all those things. So we're up to verse 4. And the children of whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in wisdom, cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palaces. They were very poised, if you would. So I'm meeting a lot of the very well-known politicians in our five counties, some more than others, and so I try to maintain my composure and always call them judge or sir or something like that, and because I don't want to start going on a... They never asked me to go on a first-name basis, and I don't plan on starting a first-name basis. Judge so-and-so, Judge Hall, Judge Burton, Judge Lewis, whatever you want to call them, and Judge Carter, et cetera, and Judge Cheney. There we go, the five judges. So these gentlemen had been trained in the noble houses of Israel, and they have been ripped from their homes and taken to Babylon. What is a crisis, and have you ever been in one? Are these men in a crisis? Yes. So what is a crisis? Could be a broken nail, fingernail. Perhaps you worked on those nails, and that could be a crisis. Two, Iran bombs Israel. Last weekend, we were concerned about all the bombs going at Israel. I think Israel retaliated in a narrow retaliation this week, and so those are crises. You can say there's a crisis in the Middle East. I think America is trying, I just read in Wall Street Journal this morning, just briefly looked at the outlines, are trying to de-escalate the situation to where it doesn't become an all-out war. That's only going to last so long because the Bible says they're going to be an all-out war. Matter of fact, in Ezekiel 30 and 39, they're coming into Israel, are they not? So there will be at some point in time, there'll be an all-out war, but a crisis. Perhaps your shirt ripped and you had to do, but I don't know, there are different things have happened, and there's small crisis. And there's big crises, if you would, and they are in a crisis because they have been translated by camel to Babylon. They might, we're into verse 4, why? To teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, what do you think question 3 was taught at Babylon University? What do you think was taught at Babylon University? I think probably it would be taught the evolutionary mindset. Maybe I have heard the word evolution, but if you have, because they have a multiplicity of gods, we know there is three, and three, there is monotheism, polytheism, tritheism. We'll give you just three to work on. We know what those words mean. Mono, one, theism, God. So are we monotheistic? Are you monotheistic? Yes, we believe in one God, three persons. Polytheistic would be the Babylonians. Poly, many, theism, God. Many gods, and so polytheistic. Are there other polytheistic cultures today in the world? Yes. Hindu, there are millions of gods over in India, polytheistic. They're having voting this next 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, and over 1 billion people are expected to vote. India has the largest population in the world today. Over 1 billion people are going to be voting for the different places. I don't even know how it works in India, but they're going to be voting. Babylonian University is going to be things, matter of fact, they're going to try to get them to convert away from what they have been trained at home to believe in the new ideology of Babylon. Has Babylon been the only country in the world that has ever tried to train their young people into an ideology separate from God's word and train them in this to where, no, we're standing in one in many regards. The university of today, now there are some, but as a general rule, they want to just ask how many scientists today, how many people believe in God's word as far as creationism? They've been very successful. The devil has been extremely successful in getting evolutionary mindset as the primary. It's almost like everyone believes it without even questioning it anymore. They've been very successful. So they're going to face this. What is the mascot for the Babylonian university, you think? We don't know. I'm just guessing, trying to make you think. The king, okay? The Babylonian kings. I like it. I put lions. The Babylonian lions. I don't know. Maybe they didn't have. It wasn't one. I don't know. We don't know what it was. Picture Daniel and his three friends in Babylon with 3-year education and indoctrination program planned for them is a classic picture of brainwashing. Mr. Vine says, we've read about the men who underwent brainwashing when they were prisoners of war in North Korea. Loudspeakers were installed in the barracks and incessantly, night and day, the political philosophy of communism was pounded into them. For what purpose? To change their political outlook, to make them come up, to make them give in, etc. The devil loves to brainwash people, whatever he can get involved in. And yeah.
My personal opinion is that it was more secular than that. I think they were more interested in teaching the language and the culture.
That's what it says, yes.
Customs, yeah. And they were their religion.
Yeah. Very possible. Oh, yes, I agree, yes, yes. I think, though, doesn't our religion sort of undergird all that we teach in a way? Because I'm going to teach my children with a biblical worldview. But you're right, the Bible says far more about their, yes, yes. But if they don't have a biblical worldview, then I'm going to teach people who, the same way, I think. But yes, they have a matter of fact, the Bible says in 4, they're much more interested in the secular part of it, yes. So there's an authority crisis. In verse 3, there's authority crisis. because they might teach them the learning the tongue of the Chaldeans. There's always going to be an authority crisis. You and I, we see a country that has an authority crisis. Who's really in control? Who are we submit to, etc.? So companies can have an authority crisis. Groups can have an authority crisis. And these gentlemen are going to face with an authority crisis and a morality crisis. Verse 5, number 2, a morality crisis. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And so I was read just this morning, so I had forgotten to read it earlier, but it says, when I was a boy, he says, a man used to walk down the street wearing a big sandwich board sign. Do you remember sandwich boards, what they were? That they put over your head and you advertise something. On the front of the sign was, I am a fool for Jesus. And people would look and laugh. And then they would look on the other side of the blackboard, which said, whose fool are you? And so he said it was quite a, Mr. Vines has written, I don't know if he's even alive even anymore, but that is quite a, whose fool are you? And we are serving someone. The king wants them to serve in the schools, to serve as ambassadors for him. And so there's going to be a morality crisis. Whose side are we going to stay on? And then there's an identity crisis, number 3, verse 6 and 7. Now among these were, of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Where are the rest? Where are the other, if there's 775, 120, 130, 500, where's everybody else? Why don't we have other people's names in here? Okay. Or are there, why are there only three people, why are there only three that didn't bow in chapter 3? I think they had given in, just that we could possibly given in. I mean, there's only three that don't. Daniel probably on vacation, away from it. I think Daniel would not have bowed had he been there in chapter 3. But there's three that stood up to the king. We're not going to do that. So he tries to change them. Daniel becomes Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But there's something that God, they can't change, and that's your heart. So the mankind may dictate this, they may dictate that, but you can still honor God in your heart. But Daniel said, now this is just too far. I was watching yesterday for some reason, I was watching the five most expensive airplane tickets in the world. And the last one was from some airline it was, from New York to Hong Kong, $44,000 to travel from New York to Hong Kong. It's like 26, 27, 29, 32 and $44,000. You have your own little apartment up there and a shower and your own TV. And the food is like this 5-star restaurant food and all these things. I just can't imagine though. $44,000. I could buy you a lot of different things with $44,000. Somebody has too much money to spend or can't spend all their money, something like that. But here they're going to try to change their and offer them the king's food, the king's wine, etc. But then this is, you know, you and I are going to face this. We're facing it today. How far do you go? When do we start obeying God's? The person who is, the nurse who said, well, we're going to start performing abortions. How long do you, how long is that nurse? We're going to face that. We're going to start, well, you have to cheat on your taxes, Tim, to serve in this company. Or I have to cheat here, I have to do this. You're going to start missing a bunch of services if you start working here. We're all going to have to start doing this. And so, what is God called me to? God is first, is he not? He is first. So when you lose our tax exempt here at the church, are we still going to tithe our money? Yes, I am. My wife and I are going to, whether we get tax exempt credit or not. We are to obey God rather than men. So Daniel, okay, you can change my name if you want, but I am still, it's interesting, why is it Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but we always keep it as Daniel? Why did that happen? How does that work? Why is it they aren't called Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, and Daniel? Daniel gets to keep the Hebrew name, and the other three have to take the Babylonian name. So interesting. There's no answer to that. Just something interesting just popped into my mind. Maybe more colorful. Yes. Maybe it made a better song. I don't know. Or a better story.
I think Abednego. Abednego. So I always thought it was Abednego. So that's what I thought it was. But it's Abednego, probably. More Abednego is the worship of Nego. The Hebrew boys then were different. Every one of them names, every one of their names is a form of abbreviation of God. El Elohim. Yah is abbreviation for Yahweh, Jehovah. Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah, Jehovah is gracious. Mishael means who is he that is God. Azariah means the Lord is help. Evidently had parents who had faith in your outline in the Lord and who wanted to give their sons names with spiritual significance. Question five, I was going to ask the teens downstairs today, but we can all, should a person be thankful if his parents want to follow God? Should a, but we don't see that as often as teenagers. I didn't realize how much I should be thankful for my parents for following God. I was looking around at sometimes, you know, he gets to do all these different things, and he has all these different things going on, and we're living out of the missionary barrel. Well, my parents still left me a heritage that's priceless. And so a godly heritage, and those who are in it, often we don't see it for what it is. Did your parents get smarter the older you got? The older I got, the smarter my mom and dad became. Because yes, there is those. That's another category, isn't it? Yes, it is. We should be thankful if our parents are following God, and if they're not, to pray for them that they would. So there's an identity crisis, a morality crisis, an authority crisis. I thought quite an interesting, the very bottom of page two, and why do we even have these men, these three guys? Listen to this, if you would, if you have time, or we'll read it together. Perhaps I'll read it, and you can listen. I can find it here real quickly, and it is on page 25. It says, we're seeing behind the scenes, something had taken place in the lives of these boys. There had been a revival in their land. A young king named Josiah one day found the word of God. God spoke to him, and there was a revival. It would be like the president of the United States one night in the White House, browsing through the books in the White House library. He finds a copy of the Bible, opens it, and has a revival in his heart. The next day, he goes on national television to say that God has moved in his heart, and he wants to call the people of America to revival. He goes out with preachers and holds meetings and leads young people to Christ. That would be no more dramatic than what happened in the days of Josiah. Under the leadership of the boy King Josiah and of preachers like Jeremiah and Micah, they had a revival. Young people caught fire for God. He said, wouldn't you like to see that happen in this land? So that's why these boys are standing for God, because there had been a revival during Josiah's time. Now, Josiah's children and grandchildren, the kings, did not follow necessarily by any means, but there had been some who it caught with them. Page 3. So Nebuchadnezzar was not content to let the boys have the names that reminded them of their faith in God. So we want to get you away from your God. We want to train you in all these things of the Chaldeans. So let's give you new names. And so we have them there on page 3. Question 6. What do we mean when we say that big decisions ultimately rest on little decisions? If you're going to walk with God, we have a missionary coming next Sunday, and probably as he was a young child, Mr. Barrett, probably his parent was raised on the mission field. I want to do this. I believe God's called me this way. I'm going to walk this way, so I'm going to follow God. I'm going to trust Christ, etc. And those little decisions bring them to the point where they are able then to answer God's call and to do what God wants them to do. But if it's like this path you're going to, this path is every decision you make leads you down one path or the other. And so we are to make decisions that honor God. Number 7, what important decisions do you think teenagers face? Or adults? Open it up. What important decisions do you think? We're in Daniel chapter 1. Mr. Messer, welcome to the day. 6 and 7. Daniel 1, 6 and 7 is where we are. I put friends, music, language, purity, church, job, college, spouse, video games, social media, and live streaming. Those are things that teenagers face. Those are what do adults face? Friends, music, language, purity, church, job, not college, or perhaps college, spouse, maybe, possibly, video games, social media, and live streaming. Whether to get out of bed or not, okay? There's those. We face those. We face a few more because a teen typically can be pulled out of bed sometimes if necessary, or water dumped on them if necessary to get them out of bed. And so that can happen. But as an adult, you know, if it's just on you if you don't get out of bed and on time, etc.
that we find in secondly, Daniel and his decisions. First of all, where's Daniel and his destiny? And number two, in your little outline, right on the middle page three, Daniel's decisions. Verse 8, a heart decision. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Now, what is the heart there? Is it that little thing that's squeezing each? It could be that, but I think it's more than that here. I think it's who you really are. It says in Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23 says, "For sure." Pardon? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we are to keep our heart. So what is your heart there? It's who you are. It's your soul. It's who you really are. It's down deep inside, the real you. So the real you at your passing from this life, the Lord tarries his coming, the real you is going to leave your body behind, and the real you is going somewhere, right? Yes, we're going to go up, Lord, as the children of God, we're going to go up to be with him. With him as Christians. Those who do not know Christ, just as real, when they leave their body, are going to go somewhere too. But it's not going to be a very splendid place by any means. So keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's your daily decisions. It's what you're going to do. Are you going to do that? And I can see going down where I'm working now, one of the trips I got out of, you have to leave on Sunday. So I'm going to say, I've worked to work that out, and so because I'm not going to believe, and I'm not going on Sunday, but the others are, and that doesn't necessarily bother them, but it would bother me greatly, and so we're at the decide and work around. I think there'll be some ways we can work around that. It's a heart decision. Every test of life, someone has said, is designed, if we outline, to help us make right decisions in life. Here, Daniel faces a big decision. All real decisions are ultimately heart decisions. They will change his homeland, his diet, even his name, but they could not change his heart because that's who you really are. We may live in a culture that as a culture, and how many Israelites lived in a culture that was opposed to Jehovah? Many, many times in their history, there was so much opposition to following God, but yet there were those who maintained the right. Now, it's individual, first of all. He was under cultural pressure. He was purposed in his heart. Do we face cultural pressures today? Oh, yes, we do. I was happy. I saw my screen time today. I was down like 85% on one and 34% on another. It just happened to work out that way, so I practice every morning, try to get there by 8:30, and I have my phone at 9:03. Ding, ding, there it is, and so I look over there. Oh, wow. Anyway, I just was fortunate. I've had 2 weeks in a row of going lower. I'm sure it will not happen much longer. Where is the Christian, question 9, where is the Christian person to get his standards, principles, and convictions? Are we to get them from the world? And no, we're not. It comes back to that thing you mentioned in Genesis 1. The world wants to say, well, you've got to incorporate, you know, I know what the Bible says, but when you understand all that science has learned and taught, well, we can believe in progressive Christianism, or God used evolution. He didn't. He really didn't. What has God said? And so when we talk about the culture, when you keep on keeping on. I told my wife just yesterday, I was at Cracker Barrel somewhere Friday, and I said that the old styles are coming back. It's that flowery are coming back for ladies. And so I said, they just keep going around and around and around and around. I just wear the same old out of fashion, sometimes in fashion clothes. There we go. But we have to, it is not what the world tells us. We have to be conformed to the Word of God, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And we also face the pressure of circumstances and consequences. Circumstances in our lives, consequences. What might the king do? Let's read verse 8. He purposed in his heart, he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. What happens when the king finds out that Daniel and the three friends are not doing what the king has said? What potentially might happen? Death. Throw him in the fiery furnace. I mean, he's not unwilling to do that. I mean, if they don't do what he says, he's willing to send three to the fiery furnace. So there was a potential of a catastrophic problem if the king chose one way or the other. But now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs.
Isn't it amazing how God will pave the way when we will follow what he wants to do? He has the plan for us. I'm not saying it always. Job, I mean, we look at Job, you look at different lives that God, they still have. Joseph. Joseph was a man living for God, and yet a lot of things happened to Joseph that certainly were not his fault. He was, matter of fact, he got in trouble for doing right. He left his coat and ran away when he tried to be seduced by Potiphar's wife. Were Daniel's three friends the only ones taken from Israel to Babylon? No. And I asked you before, why aren't they mentioned here earlier? And interesting what the Mr. Vine says. He says, why are the others not mentioned? Was it because when pressure came, they caved in? When the testing time came, they failed the test? Did they give in to the pressure because they would not pay the price? And so their names are not mentioned in God's word. We don't know. Perhaps there were others. Perhaps, as Mr. Womack, I think actually these three men were put in a place of authority later on. Daniel was like the head of all the presidents, etc. Do you think that question 12, that Daniel had a quiet time each day? Can you prove it, Bible? Yes and yes. I mean, this, when the law in chapter 6 comes along, different people I know, but the law says, but Daniel, as he does all the time, he opens his windows and he prays toward Jerusalem three times a day. I think he'd been doing that for quite some time. So I don't think you can stand for God in such a way without walking with God. What you're going to see in America as time goes on and we have more pressure, they're going to have people who start, well, you know, it's not that important to me. It needs to be vitally. Matter of fact, there are things worse than death. Denying Christ. You should read Vox's Book of Martyrs of those who, I'm sure they suffered tremendous pain, but in threat of death, they will recant. And then before they die, they recant their recant. They cancel their recant. And so, no, I'm really a child. And so we don't know until we get to that point. It was Mr. Robinson told my wife and I, we were training on the guns. He said, you know, I've been out there, and people, you don't really know what you would do until you are actually, as someone shooting at you and pointing that gun at you, what you're really going to do. And that's why we train you this way, so that when time happens, they trained us to be able to respond. So we need to be walking with God. If we're going to stand for God, we need to be walking with him. Not only the individual is influential. Daniel brought him tender love with the favor Daniel had brought. And now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. So before we pray, what is this, see your faces? What is that? What do people have to be doing to see your face? They have to be what? Looking at you. So what a testimony these three and Daniel are going to have this potential, lest they see your faces and it's worsened. And I'm telling you, probably Ashpenaz knew that if bad things happen, his head's going to roll. You know, you've heard the heads are going to roll. Things happen in the company. Things happen over where I work, where you work. And well, heads are going to roll over that one. Maybe that came from the older time when people actually did have heads that rolled. Maybe it was from I don't know where it came from. Maybe it's from the French Revolution. Anyway, their heads are going to roll. But these men have this same chance. Who is it? Who is it you're influencing? You all influence somebody, for good or for ill. We may not want to hear that, but we do. We influence somebody. Influence everybody. So I was texting with the missionary last night, and so we had it all set up. He said, oh, by the way, he said, I'm extremely allergic to cats. Well, we'll find you other lodging then, because I've got three ornery critters in my house. And so he let me know. So he influenced me greatly to change what I was planning on doing for the missionary coming next week, because he said, matter of fact, I went to a house that had gotten rid of their cat 6 months earlier, and I still got so asthmatic that I had to take a cortisone shot. And the cat had been gone for 6 months. I'm thinking with three cats that are running rampant around the house, it's not a good thing. So we'll find that. But you're going to influence somebody this week. Can't come to your house either. May we influence in a godly way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look at Daniel. We say, my, what a, a young man who stood for you. May we, much older than that, Lord, I need to stand for you as well. May we in love graciously hold forth the truth and live our lives by that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.